Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
Without repeating the whole gospel, I do want to highlight a couple of the most important elements of it so you can follow my story a bit. There was a guy named Zacchaeus, right? And he wanted to see Jesus, but he was short, so he had to climb a tree in order to see him. And Zacchaeus was a wealthy man, and he would have been a man of some reputation. He was the chief tax collector. Now, he would not have been popular among the Jews, but he would have been somebody among the Romans. And so to see a grown man climbing a tree, to see somebody, there is this, he's going out of his way. He is humbling himself. He wanted an encounter with Jesus. And he was willing to be stretched a bit by climbing that tree. Now this week, somebody reading ahead for the Sunday Masses sent me a little kind of synopsis of this gospel that I found very powerful, that spoke to me. And it was this: long before Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus, the tree was already planted to meet his need. Long before Zacchaeus needed a tree to climb, God had a tree planted for him to go up. Now, you know, I had the privilege to get to go to Jericho. Last year, I just drove through it. But about 8 years ago, I got to stop in Jericho and go down next to this spring, a very ancient spring, a spring that Abraham would have visited. Anyway, near this spring, there was a giant tree. Guess what kind of tree it was? A sycamore tree. Yeah, it was a tourist stop, okay? They tried to convince us that this was the tree that Zacchaeus had climbed. Now, it was old. It was huge. And they had a little plaque in front of it explaining this gospel story in the town of Jericho. It's always kind of resonated with me, this little story, and I can envision it well. You know, 3 weeks ago, we had a gospel about prayer, okay? Anybody remember what the gospel was 3 weeks ago? Bit of a challenge, I know. I'll give you a hint. It wasn't about leopards. It was about what? Lepers. That's right, lepers. And the lepers, 10 were healed, and only one came back and gave thanks. So it was about thanksgiving, the prayer of thanksgiving, which what the Mass is. And then 2 weeks ago, we had the widow and the unrighteous judge that neither feared God nor feared man. But she was heard because she was what? Persistent. She persisted. She persisted. She persisted in her prayer. And then last week, it was about the posture of prayer. Not standing or kneeling, but an interior posture. And we had two people, and they were contrasted. And one's interior posture was pride and gossip. And the other one's interior posture was what? Humility. Humility. And so we have this boom, boom, boom in the gospel. Thanksgiving, persistence, and humility. And this is to mark our prayer. And in our prayer, we're seeking an encounter, right? An encounter with Jesus Christ, as Zacchaeus was seeking an encounter with Christ. And you know, this is probably one of the most fundamental truths in Christianity. Seek and you will find. Seek your encounter with Christ. Seek the face of the truth. Seek Jesus and you will find him. If you need a tree, there will be a tree there. If you need the sea parted, he can part the sea. What is it that we need? Sometimes it's not so much what we need, it's what's in our way. You know, Zacchaeus, he was the chief tax collector. He had to humble himself as a short man. He had to give in to that, you know, pretending like he's not short all his life, and climb that tree just so he could see. And when he could look and see Jesus with that heart of humility, there was a transformation. And long before he needed that tree, it was already growing. God had a plan. He already knew. And you know what? It's even more powerful about this reality that if we seek Jesus, we will find him. It's the reality that it's not just us seeking him. He's seeking us. He's planting trees all over the place, waiting for us to find a need for them to climb and see him. And how do I figure that? Because of the last line of the gospel. What is the last line of the gospel today? Was, for the Son of Man, which again is how Jesus refers to himself, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost. And that which was lost was us, the human family, to seek and to save what was lost. But sometimes there are things in the way. Sometimes there are attitudes or dispositions or even beliefs that get in the way of our authentic, transforming encounter with Christ. The Gospel of Luke is filled with this theme that we must be emptied. We must be emptied in order for Jesus to fill us. We have to let something go. We have to allow the power of God to transform us and trust that long before we turn to look for Jesus, Jesus is already looking for us, waiting for us to turn back, to come, to be open. Now, I could stop the homily right there, but you'd think, that was short, so I have to keep going, okay? I have to keep going. Because remember, Jesus isn't just some idea. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus upholds certain truths, certain doctrines. And to encounter Christ, sometimes we have to encounter the truth. And what is it? What is this truth I want us to encounter today? Well, a few weeks ago, I asked you all to consider praying the rosary. You remember that? Those of you that are regulars here, I know we have a lot of visitors. Those of you that are regulars, I asked you about this pray, persisting in prayer, praying with humility, praying in thanksgiving, and maybe think about praying the rosary. And during the rosary, we meditate on the mysteries of the life of Jesus. We can say the Our Fathers, the Hail Mary, and the Glory Bees, and that's all well and good. And you can do that. That's a fine way to pray the rosary. But a better way is to enter into the mysteries of the life of Jesus through the eyes of his mother, right? And so we have the first joyful mystery. We pray the joyful mysteries on Tuesday and Saturday, if you follow that little schedule. But nonetheless, the first joyful mystery is when the angel Gabriel speaks to Mary and she conceives the child Jesus in her womb, right? Okay. And then immediately after she conceives the child Jesus, she decides that she needs to go visit somebody. Okay. And the second joyful mystery is called the visitation. And it is this encounter between Mary, who has very recently become pregnant, and Elizabeth, who's been pregnant for about 6 months, right? And that's what the church asks us to meditate on. And when Mary and Elizabeth meet, John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth encounters Jesus. Now, this is what the church asks us to meditate on. This encounter. Zacchaeus had an encounter today. John had an encounter with Jesus. And how old was John? 6 months in utero. And how old was Jesus? maybe 4 or 5 days in utero. So what is it? What's the truth that we learn as Catholics and Christians meditating on that? Yeah, that life in the womb, huh? That life in the womb. Now, I know I'm speaking to a church full of Catholics that attend Holy Mass, and so there's probably not anything I'm getting ready to say to you that's shocking. But the Catholic Church teaches absolutely and without any exception that abortion is a sin that can never be tolerated. It can never be okay. It's always against the will of God and against the commandment of God and against the love of neighbor. Always. And as Catholics, we have to be the leaven for the earth. You know what leaven is? Leaven's yeast. That's another name for yeast. And yeast goes into dough and it makes it rise. And as Catholics, we're supposed to be a rising agent, an agent that brings up the world around us through the truth of Jesus Christ. And we have to be able to bring the doctrines of Christ to the world, right? We have to believe them in order to bring them to the world. And my brothers and sisters, you know this whole issue of abortion, it's ripe. Right now, it's ripe because there are people that want us to just be silent about it, to think it's just one of many things that we can debate. But Pope Francis said, in the face of abortion, it is wrong to remain silent or to look the other way. Pope Francis said, we must protect the smallest and the most vulnerable among us. Pope Francis also said this, and I meant to say this a few moments ago. Pope Francis said, I know that it is an existential and a moral ordeal. And I have met so many women, this is Pope Francis, I'm quoting him. I have met so many women who bear in their heart the scar of this agonizing decision. And as a priest, I have met so many as well. And I would say to you, and I know this is an uncomfortable topic, but it is not a controversial topic. It is not a gray topic. It is not a political topic. It is a topic of a doctrine of the truth. And Jesus is the truth, and we are to encounter the truth and be transformed by that encounter. And sometimes there are obstacles in the way. But I would say to you, speaking to a congregation of this size, it would be impossible in this day and age for me to speak to you all and not have a number of you who have been immediately affected by abortion. Because it's that common. It's that common, but that doesn't make it okay. You know, as Catholics, and there are people who claim to have been transformed by Christ, who claim to know Christ, who claim to look upon Christ, but would say that John the Baptist and Jesus in that scene at the Ascension both could be killed with absolutely no rights. And that's just not true. It's just not true. And you say, well, I wouldn't want them killed, but I think other people should have the right to kill them. Who would say that about slavery? I don't want to own any slaves, but it's okay if you own them. See, it doesn't make any sense. It's a ridiculous thing to say, frankly. And so, my brothers and sisters, we have an enemy. And the enemy has 2 calling cards. And if you ever see either one of these calling cards, you can suspect that he's nearby. Okay? And one of them is lies and the other one is murder. Okay? And that's that ancient enemy who is Satan. And if you put lies and murder together, you're pretty sure he's right there in the middle of it. And so, my brothers, my sisters, we are called to have a life-transforming encounter with Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we're to take that life-transforming encounter with Christ, who is the truth, into the world. there was a guy named Zacchaeus, and he wanted to meet Jesus. And the tree was planted long before the need was present for him to climb and have that encounter. If anybody wants to meet our Lord Jesus, he will be there, present to them, to transform their heart and their mind. And I know, you know, this is kind of a touchy subject. I don't want anybody to clap. I certainly don't want anybody to get up and leave. But as Christians, we have to recognize that an encounter with Christ leaves us respecting life and the life of the youngest and the most vulnerable among us.